Good morning. Thankfully, these Bible apps have big font. That's all I got to say. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Matthew 7, 21 to 29. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he had taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law.
You may be seated. Ravi Zacharias, well-known apologetist, evangelist, did a lectureship at Ohio State University a number of years ago, and he was driven around campus by a driver, and he passed the popular art center on the campus, and the driver said to him, this art building for the university, it's a very fascinating building, and he's telling Ravi, he was designed very specially with a postmodernist view of reality. Did you catch that? It was designed and built with a postmodernist view of reality, simply meaning that the building has no pattern. Staircases go nowhere. Pillars support nothing. The architect designed the building to reflect life. It went nowhere and was mindless and senseless. So Ravi, as sharp as he is, turns to the driver, describing it, and he asked, did they do the same thing with the foundation? And he laughed, and the driver says, you can't do that with the foundation. You can get away with it in the infrastructure, but not with the foundation. You can get away with random thoughts that sound good in defense of a worldview that ultimately doesn't make sense. Once you start tampering with the foundation, though, you begin to see the serious effects. And the foundation is so critical. The foundations of our culture do not provide coherent sets of answers anymore, because we live in a postmodernist view of life. What Ravi is doing in that little account is he's warning about the danger of no foundations or the wrong foundations for life, our philosophy of life, our worldview. And everybody has a worldview. Everybody has a philosophy of life. Friedrich Nietzsche went around talking about God being dead, and he talks about culture, and you killed him, and you killed him, and you killed God, and God is dead. And if you know the end of the story, he ends up destitute in a mental hospital and dies. Certainly, we could illustrate with the building of a house, you need a foundation, some type of foundation. Even if it's on a slab or a crawl space, you need a foundation. And if not, if there is no foundation, you're going to have serious problems. And I can say that from experience with an alcoholic father, a gambling father to the age of when I was 15. We lived in some shacks that had no foundation. And there was problems. In this parable that Jesus shares in Matthew 7, the parable of the wise and foolish builder, Jesus is using the metaphor of building a house and how we are to build our lives. 45 years of pastoral ministry this month, June, for me. 45 years. Boy, did it go fast. I can't believe the time. But I share that to say that after 45 years, one of the things that breaks my heart, just pierces me, is to watch people build their lives on a faulty worldview and a faulty philosophy of life that may look fine and wild and crazy on the surface, but there's no foundation and their lives end up a mess. The house in this metaphor in Matthew 7 represents our lives, both today and tomorrow, and yes, even for eternity. What this parable does is that it drives us to deal with one of the most basic issues of life. One of the most basic issues of life. And I trust that the Holy Spirit will penetrate your thoughts and your mind and your heart with this. And that is the foundation upon which we build our lives. The foundation upon which we build our lives. Everyone builds their life on some type of foundation. And over these 45 years, I've watched people come and go through church and profess to know Jesus and profess to be a Christian. And sad, some profess to be atheist and agnostic and so forth. And some profess to be religious or non-religious. And I've watched so many lives built on a faulty foundation and their lives have collapsed. What kind of life are you building and what is the foundation for your life? Very possibly may be the second most important question you'll ever hear. Interwoven in this question will come the most important question, and that is, what do you do with Jesus? But the question that I pose this morning is, what kind of life are you building and what is the foundation for your life? It is quite possible. Could be someone here today, I don't know. That maybe you need to rebuild your life because it's a mess. And that's because maybe you did not use the right foundation. That is very possible. And your life's a mess. Or maybe it's becoming a mess. And you see it and it's starting to crumble. And you, what is going on? And your life's crumbling. And you're putting on a good front. I mean, you go to work and maybe you have a family, maybe you're married, maybe you have children, maybe not, maybe you're single. And you got a car and you got a house or an apartment and everything on the surface looks good. And it's like that art building at Ohio University. And inside it's crumbling because there's no foundation. You may need to find the right foundation. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. And as a teenager, be it senior high or junior high, maybe you need some help in a world that offers nothing but money and greed and drugs and promiscuity and MTV, and offers virtual reality. And that's the foundation that you're hearing. And you need some hope. And I want to offer it to you through Jesus and this parable about building your life. Matthew 7 is Jesus teaching us how to live by the insight for building on the right foundation. If that doesn't interest you, I mean, just put on your earphones or whatever, you know, and tune me out and say, I don't need it. My life is going okay. What Jesus is doing is that he's laying out a blueprint for living. And he wants us to build on the right foundation. So let's see what he has to say. And what I see here are two life decisions that we need to make. Two life decisions for building a solid life, a God-pleasing life, on the foundation that Jesus has for us. So here's the first wise life decision. And from a metaphor, this is the footer, or the footing. I'm not even to the foundation yet, okay? And those of you that have built, and I know some of you have built things, and even my wife, Connie, she built a deck on the back of the house a couple of years ago. She was the brains and I was the brawn, and she knows that you have to have a footer for those posts for the deck. So the footer, in this case, the first wise life decision is the decision to listen to and trust Jesus. Don't miss that. It's the decision to listen to and trust Jesus. That's the footer. That's the footing in the building. That's the concrete base even before you begin to lay the building blocks for the foundation. If you leave out the footer, you can lay cement blocks all you want, and they're going to start to sink. So you got to have the footer, even if you're putting posts in. So the first place that we begin in building or rebuilding our lives is to listen to Jesus. That sounds so cliché, doesn't it? It's like, yeah, Pastor, that's a good phrase for a Sunday morning sermon. But it is the truth. What this does is that it gets us to the place of discovering who we are, listening to when it comes to the big truth questions about life. Questions like, who am I? What is life all about? Where did I come from? Why was I born? Where am I going? Do I have a purpose for living? That's all about Christian apologetics, I know. And if that scares you, Christian apologetics, and I told this little story about Rabbi Zacharias, and he's one of the sharpest guys around these days in Christian circles. But you need to understand apologetics is very important because everybody has apologetics. It's answering these questions. Who am I? What is life all about? Who is Jesus? Why was he there? Da, da, da. All those issues. This is so extremely important because there are many voices calling us, trying to seduce us into building our lives on the wrong footer. As we build the house of our lives, we build on the wrong footer, the wrong footing, and we're building on sand in a house of cards. The house of the sand of postmodern relativism. And these include any voice that would leave out God, that would leave out Jesus Christ, that would leave out his word, scripture, and that may come from unbelievable sources that we would say, what? And if you sit back and you listen to the news and you read the news and the media and you're going, where is that coming from? It is not surprising because when you leave God out and when you leave Jesus out and when you leave Scripture out and you buy into building your lives on the sand of postmodern relativism, that can come from our educational system, be it high school, college, middle school, grad school. It can come from our peers, and yes, it can even come from families, our own families. So here's the vital question. And I want to challenge you teens and you junior high and senior high kids. Who are you listening to for building your life? Do you have a rock foundation, or are you building on the sands of what this world and other voices would offer you? public education, and I'm not here to slam public education, but it's very, very critical. Public education and our media are probably two of the greatest foundation builders or rebuilders in our culture today. And that covers everything from entertainment and sitcoms and music and role models, etc. And they are screaming out. And if you listen more than just having your ears tickled or being entertained for a few moments or hearing the weather or somebody died or some sports team won, if you're really listening, they're screaming out their theology and their philosophy of life and their worldview that will be counter to the foundation of Jesus Christ. By the way, I have to mention this. I'm not into horse racing, but did anybody see the Belmont yesterday? Oh, two of us, three of us, four of us. Connie and I watched it. And Justify won the Triple Crown. I thought it was interesting, Justify. You know, justification is a very important word for us, right? We're justified by God's grace through faith in Jesus. But what I wanted to note was the jockey, Mike Smith, he's still on the horse. The race is over, and the horse is cooling down, and one of the TV, she does it all the time. She's on a horse, and she comes up and puts a mic in his face. And Mike won, this Mike Smith, he's won it. He won the Kentucky Derby, he won the Preakness and the Belmont, so he won the Triple Crown. And he's got the mic in his phone, and she asked him, in his face, and she asked him to say something, and here's what he says. First, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he said, I have been blessed. I had to mention that. Mike, he's probably not listening to me today. So who are you listening to for building your life? Are you listening to those voices out there that would leave Jesus and the rock foundation out of your life? Or are you listening to Jesus? Do you know what Jesus has to say about the big truth questions? Because Jesus has a lot to say about them. He has a lot to say in the New Testament about who am I and where did I come from and where am I going? Is there life after life? Is there life after death? And why was I born? And can I have identity and really have purpose? Jesus has a lot to say about that. So let's cut to the quick. If you spend more time listening to the theology and the philosophy of our entertainment world than to Jesus Christ, you're building or rebuilding on a foundation of sand. You're setting your life up for disaster. You're setting your life up for disaster. Listen to Jesus and begin to believe and trust Him. And that belief is more than just an intellectual assent. Yeah, I believe in Jesus. You know, my parents took me to Sunday school, and I know Jesus, and that's what Christmas is all about, right? Jesus was born, and Easter, he supposedly died and rose again. So it's more than intellectual assent. You begin to believe who he is and what he's all about. And it is much deeper than this just intellectual thing, because, by the way, if you've never thought about this, the devil believes in Jesus. The devil knows that Jesus is real. So it's much deeper. It's a life of trust and total dependence. Sad to say, there are multitudes of people that profess to believe in Jesus. But when it comes to building their lives and laying the right foundation, that solid foundation, they might as well be an atheist. Or Jesus is nothing more than a fairy tale or a big Santa Claus in the sky or a Peter Pan fictitious character. Trusting Jesus is banking our total life on who he is and what he asks us to do and how he wants us to live. Very simple, but those are radical words. Our life, our total life. And the songs were so unbelievably appropriate this morning. And Connie, our worship team, did not know what I was speaking on. Patty Cadis didn't know. But the songs were so right there. radical words, our life, our total life, filtered through Jesus Christ. Okay, the second. I said there are two wise life decisions. And the second one is this, and the metaphor, once we lay the footer, then we got to start laying the block foundation, using a metaphor of so many houses that we build here in the United States. Concrete block foundation. And that is the decision to obey and put into practice what Jesus teaches. See, it's one thing to listen to him and to begin to trust him. You're laying the footer, and now we're going to start laying the blocks. And that's to make the decision, I'm going to obey Jesus and put into practice what he's teaching me. So once that footer is laid, once it's poured and it's solid, that decision to listen to and to trust in Jesus, now we need to lay these solid building blocks, and that's to obey and practice what he says. See, you don't just build a house with a footer. Now, the footer is important. We need to listen to Jesus, and we begin to trust in him, but that's not the end. You just don't go in and, let's see, we got guys that have built things here, and you build houses and sheds and decks and all of that. You don't just put the footer in, you know, the concrete in the ground. There needs to be some type of foundation. But if you just laid the footer and went out and, okay, I'm going to put some 2x4s here and 2x4s there, it might be okay, but it's going to start collapsing after a while. And this is where the second life decision is so very critical. We begin to listen to and trust Jesus, but now we begin to obey him and put into practice what he is teaching. To obey him and to put into practice what he's teaching. There are professing Christians who want to build or rebuild a solid life in Jesus Christ. And they may say, I trust you, Jesus, but ignore him and reject obedience to him. I'm in my own personal devotions, not for Sunday or ministry, I'm reading through the Old Testament again, and I've just read the part where Saul, King Saul, he was anointed king, and if you read his fantastic account, and you got Samuel, the prophet who anoints him. Israel's crying for a king. And so Samuel anoints Saul. But the part that really caught me in this last week, and it plugs in here this morning, is that Saul says to Samuel, I will obey you. Because he knew that Samuel was giving him the word of God. And he says, I will obey you, Samuel. And he tells Samuel to his face, I will obey you. I will do what you say. But in the next few verses, when Samuel disappears, here's Saul disobeying the word of God. And the one that really jumped off the page is that he can't stand David. David's going to end up becoming king. And he can't stand David. Despises David. And Saul learns all about this, and he challenges Saul. Samuel learns about it and tells Saul. And Saul goes, I will not kill David. I will not kill him. And Samuel disappears. And then, if you've read the Old Testament, you know the story where Saul takes the spear and throws it at David and tries to pin him to a wall. And he just said to Samuel, I will not kill him. He disobeys. See, it's one thing to say, Jesus, I believe in you, and I trust you, and I will obey you. And then you turn around and you say, ha, I want to do what I want. The huge difference. You got the footer, but now we need to start laying the blocks. What is really Jesus asking us to do? This is where some Christians stumble. I don't know what Jesus wants of me. What does Jesus want with my life? Well, I want to tell you very pointedly, very frankly, right up front, it's very simple. Don't make it more complex than what it is. Like, should I buy a red car? Now, should I marry that girl that's a blonde? I like the brunette, you know? It's very, very simple. Matthew 7:24. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. Do you see how simple that is? Hear Jesus' words, put them into practice, and you're building your house on solid rock. Now, what are some of his words? If we could take it and just begin to pack it down really neat, we are to obey and practice everything that Jesus teaches us. And so if we're going to summarize it, there are two basically great things that Jesus spoke to us about and taught us when it comes to obedience. And one is called the Great Commandment, which is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. I mean, that's pretty simple, right? Even when your neighbor's ugly and doesn't like you and wants to steal something from you, love your neighbor as yourself. But love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. No idols in your life. No idols in your life. And not just statues, silver and gold. No idols. Money, fame, success, career, hobbies, spouse, children, family. No idols. Loving the Lord God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. First, Jesus said, seek my kingdom first and my righteousness, and all the other stuff is going to be taken care of. And then our neighbor as ourself. Second great commandment is the Great Commission. This says, go into all the world and make disciples. We're talking about building life on a solid foundation, or rebuilding a life that's been a disaster and a mess. And Jesus is saying, take my words, obey them, and put them into practice. And he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And then he goes, go into the world and make disciples. Just ponder that for a moment. Go into the world and make disciples. He didn't say that to the Billy Grahams of the world alone. He didn't say that to the Ravi Zachariases alone. He says that to everyone that wants to build his life on a solid foundation. So many Christians miss it. Oh, well, yeah, that's for the evangelist. That's for the Billy Grahams. That's for this. That's for that. That's for the pastor. That's for the missionaries going to Africa or China or somewhere. It's for everyone that's made a commitment to Jesus Christ and wants to build their life on a solid foundation. That doesn't mean you have to go to China or Africa or that kind of thing. It doesn't necessarily mean that. But one of our priorities is to go and make disciples. A wise man who builds his life on the rock Christ Jesus, lays the building blocks of obedience to Jesus, begins to put that into practice, and practically that means all of our life decisions and relationships will be filtered through those two greats at the minimum. That is such a radical, life-changing thing. You think about it. I want to build my life on a solid rock. I don't want the sands of postmodern relativism. I want a solid life. I want purpose and meaning. I want to obey God, and I really want to follow Jesus. I want to do what he has to say in my life. All of our life decisions and all of our relationships will be filtered through those two greats that I just talked about at the bare minimum. All of our relational decisions, all of our financial decisions, all of our time decisions, all of our goal and ambition decisions will be filtered through Jesus Christ. All of that. You go, but I want Jesus for Sunday, you know. I love worship and I want to praise him, and I like, you know, praise him arms and guitars, and it's so wonderful. Oh man, I feel so good. I want Jesus for Sunday, but Monday, you don't know what I got to deal with on Monday. Jesus does. You want a solid life? Or do you want a sand-built life? Do you want a rock foundation life? Or do you want a postmodern sand relativistic, I'll do it my way? I don't even want to mention the guy's name. It's an inside joke for those of you that don't know me. See, if it doesn't pass through that filter of everything, every life decision through Jesus, we're going to have problems. Amen. That covers everything from dating junior high, senior high kids, who you date, the decisions you make, who you marry, the career you choose, the goals, what you do with your money, what you do with your time, whether you use gifts of the Holy Spirit and the body of Christ, your relationships in church with other Christians, every aspect of your life filtered through what does Jesus want me to do? Love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, your neighbor as yourself, and go make disciples. Amen. Now that's just minimum, okay? There's other things that we read through the Beatitudes and so forth. So these two greats serve as building blocks. Are they building blocks of your life? Let me be as frank, as pointed, but as loving as I can. If not, if you can't say, I love the Lord with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and my neighbor is myself, and I'm going to be obedient to go and making disciples, if you can't say that, you really can't speak of obedience to Jesus. You can't speak about practicing what he teaches. And if you can't, then you're building on a weak foundation, a postmodern, sand, relativistic foundation. Okay, let's conclude. Do you need to build or rebuild your life? Listen to and trust in Jesus Christ. Begin to obey him. Begin to put into practice those words about loving your neighbor, loving God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then going to make disciples. And I'm telling you, when you make that step, you may not know what the next step is, but Jesus already does. This is where a life of faith comes in. You may not have to have it all planned out. 5 years from now, 10 years from now, you know, I got it all worked out. I'm going to marry so-and-so, and I'm going to go here, and I'm going to have money, and I'm going to retire, and everything's going to be fine. It may not be the way Jesus wants you to live at all. But I'm telling you, following Jesus is the greatest way to live. Amen. And that's, you know, sharing that, standing here as pastor, it sounds like, yeah, look at you. You got your life together. Well, I didn't always have my life together. Okay? But I'm telling you, following Jesus, I wouldn't trade it for anything. Amen. I wouldn't. How's your life going today? Jesus is the rock. Lay the solid foundation in him. You may need, I don't want to say this, but I need to say it. You may need to allow Jesus to destroy your old life. You may need to allow him to just bring it to nothing, shatter it, and then teach you how to rebuild. Will you give your life to Jesus Christ? Let's stand for prayer. Father, thank you for your presence, your word. I pray that it will not return void, but do what you want it to do. Thank you, Jesus, for your Holy Spirit, and you know what's going on in people's hearts and minds, and pray that there will be obedience and a response to your Holy Spirit's prompting. Now, Father, as we leave this room, this building, you're there. Your Holy Spirit is real, and we want to breathe in your presence. We praise your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen.